This is the Business Storytelling Show, a top global marketing podcast listened to in more than 100 countries, live streamed on social media, and broadcast on DBTV. Christoph Trapp chats with industry leaders to help your company tell better business stories. Here's today's episode.
Episode 641, my friends, the Business Storytelling Show. Today, we want to talk about AI, one of my favorite topics currently. And you know, just a little over a year ago, we didn't even know what AI was. I mean, we knew what AI was, but how about in marketing? It was not nearly as widespread until ChatGPT came out. And I am a big fan of using AI. I've used AI to get clips from the show, Opus Clips. If you want to check them out, we can probably throw up the QR code on the top there, video clips. If you want to try them, put in your video, and it creates clips. Most of them are pretty good. Some of them are kind of like, yeah, bad cut. But you know what? I've worked with video editors, and guess what? They don't always get it right either, right? I mean, they don't always get the best clips. So what's the difference? Whether it's AI or a person, the AI does it in 30 minutes, maybe less. So today, what's super exciting to me, I'm going to talk to Emmanuel Rose. He's the author of Authentic Marketing in the Age of AI. So he's kind of putting a couple different topics together that we're going to touch on here. Authentic marketing, number one, what is that? And what is the role of AI? Really excited for this discussion. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Nice to see you. Hey, so authentic marketing, let's start there. First of all, what is authentic marketing and why do we need to care about that today?
Well, authentic marketing is the idea that you really want to understand the pain points of the people that you're talking to. You want to treat them like human beings and you want to have a conversation with them. And so sometimes as marketers, we get lost in our KPIs and having to generate a certain number of leads, and we forget that we're actually talking to people who have to make a decision. And so the authentic part is remembering the humanness in the interaction.
You do have to remember the human aspect. It does look like we have some technical issues here on the video. So what I'm going to do, my friends, we're not going to do any video. We're just going to do that for the rest of the show. Of course, if you're listening on the podcast channels, it's all the same to you. EmmanuelRose.com is where you can get his book and learn more. So kind of tell me about, oh, now the video is working again. So we'll try that again in a second, see what's going on here. And maybe it's fine. Technical issues when you are live streaming. But why are people not doing that? Why are people not having these authentic conversations with customers? Why is it all about chasing the numbers and winning the quarter? And don't you win the quarter if you have those authentic marketing relationships?
Well, you certainly have a customer base that's willing to interact with you at a deeper level when you're building these authentic relationships. You're really building brand advocates versus people who are just doing transactions with you. So, one of the things is it's challenging. It's hard. And so anything that's hard, it takes a little more time and more thought. And some people I call it lazy marketing. You know, they just want to get pieces done. And or maybe it's just inexperience. You see a lot of mistakes. You know, I mean, I've been in sales and marketing for over 30 years and can see when it's a young copywriter or young ad writer who's putting together content that's all about what the company is instead of what the problems are and what the solutions that are being provided are. So it's tough, but you got to do good work in order to get good results.
You know, what's interesting to me about that comment, if 10 years ago, 20 years ago, if you would have said to me lazy marketing or lazy anything, right, I would have thought I have to work harder. I have to do this and, you know, put in more hours. Don't get me started on the whole more hours thing. But today, yeah, when you have AI, is it actually about working harder or cliches? But is it actually about working smarter? I mean, I'm thinking about even this episode today, right? What we're doing, we're using AI for clips, use some AI assisted writing, you know, all these different things. How how can marketers be less lazy, so to speak, and build those relationships? And what role does AI play, if any?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it's an amazing tool. The access to software that we have as marketers now is mind-boggling. You know, we have to be committed to writing good prompts and thinking through the whole process, you know, to it and through it, as one of my friends likes to say. So the prompt writing is really important if you're going to be using generative AI for copywriting or for ad development. And it's critical then that you're going through and like we were talking about earlier, cleaning up that copy and removing the hallucinations and then revising it with the human touch so that it is as unique as possible, as well as being having the full story.
You know, what's interesting to me is sometimes people think about AI and they just say, hey, ChatGPT or Claude or Bard or whoever, write me an article on what being authentic in marketing. And it just kind of makes up stuff, right? It just pulls it from wherever. And they think that's what it is. But how, I mean, maybe that's just my perception. But when I use AI, I mean, I'm having almost a conversation with it, right? I'm saying, hey, I need help with this. I want this. I want that. And then it does whatever it does. And they say, oh, nope, make it more this, make it more that, you know, whatever. And I'm really talking it through. And sometimes I even say, hey, like I had one the other day and it said 92% of customers do online reviews. They review online reviews before purchases. And I said, what's the source for this right. number? And yeah. it said, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have a source. Here's a rewritten paragraph. So I don't know if that number, you know? I'm like, I don't know if that number was just made up or right. it seemed very high to me, honestly. Yeah. But my point is, I'm not just trusting AI. I'm trying to integrate it in a smart way where it makes sense and not necessarily, you know, just kind of spew out stuff. So what yeah. are your, do you have any kind of rules or any kind of thoughts on how people use AI when it comes to authentic marketing today?
Yeah, I like to use it. And I recommend that you use it as high level directioning, right? So developing content calendar, developing topics for blog posts, developing high level interview questions for today's conversation. Just getting some ideas, kind of what we'd say in the old days, getting the juices flowing. And like you're saying, have the conversation with it. Sometimes the conversation with chat is more complicated than just sitting down and writing it for me. So it's, you know, you got to pick too how you use the tool. And the high level activities are really good. And then generating these kind of rough drafts. And then especially if you're talking about blog posts or video scripting.
Yeah, I would only recommend it to use it for articles, honestly, if you already have source content. You know, like the other day I had two articles. They were kind of similar but different. They didn't really perform. And so I said, hey, can you combine these two articles? Don't add anything else. Just combine my two articles into yeah. one. And then I took it from there.
Nice. Yeah, that's a nice way to use it too. Summaries. I like the summarization part also for when you need to shorten things down.
Yep, shorten things down, or like you can ask it, hey, it's like even this interview today, you know, I mean, I'm authentic marketing certainly is a keyword, but I might use the transcript in Otter AI and basically just go in there and say, hey, what keywords can I rank for in this article? What did we talk about in this transcript? Otter AI is a great tool. You can use it over there. You get a month off, the month of the pro plan, I believe. And of course, I'm a big, big fan of Otter AI. As well. So earlier you hinted at that people are struggling even with authentic marketing on its own. Why is that? How do companies create better authentic marketing? How do they keep it top of mind and why should they?
Well, we go back to the concept of stratification of a market, right? When you say, I want to sell personal training to baby boomer aged women. So I've got to tell a different story, a more authentic story about the problem, the solution, the call to action inside that piece. a different story than I would if I'm selling personal training to a Gen Z female, right? And so it really is about being able to anticipate what their concerns are and then creating an envelope of trust based on that understanding.
Yeah, and building that trust, I think, is always a challenge and certainly takes some time. You have a whole chapter on developing an authentic marketing strategy. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit. And I always, when I think about, there's signals for me when I feel like somebody is not authentic or I don't want to trust them, right? It comes in their copy. Like if it's too, I don't know if slimy is probably not the right word, but it's like if it's too, like there's just certain words. If they use
salesy,
them.
Right? What? Yeah. It's salesy.
It's too salesy, right? It's too pushy. It's too, they're not telling me anything. It's kind of like if we were just to come on here and say, oh, authentic marketing and AI is important. I'll read Emmanuel's book for the rest. Like nobody would listen to the show, right? You have to be a little bit deeper than that. So that those are kind of my telltales. But talk about how do companies go about implementing and actually developing a strategy like that?
You know, the absolute best strategy is to get 90 seconds every Monday morning with the CEO or the business manager, business unit manager, and have them do 90 seconds on the iPhone or on their mobile phone. Customer of the week, employee of the month, social activity over Christmas, new product release, a problem that they solved inside the business. So just these very simple, 1 to 2 minute videos from the person who runs the business and about the philosophy that created that situation or the solving that problem. And then that video, as you know, can be turned into blog posts, social posts, video clips, and it gives the target market an opportunity to see the actual person who's leading the brand and what their beliefs are about the situations that are being talked about in those posts.
So I think a little bit what I heard you talk about there is, I mean, it's important to involve others, right? Whether it's the CEO, some thought leader in the company, a product leader, somebody. It can't just be marketing. It can't just be the content marketer or the social media manager, right, doing it. Is that kind of what I heard you say there?
Yeah, that when you look at the successful brands that, a majority of them are have a Elon Musk type person who's at the helm, who's on Twitter, who's in Instagram, who's posting to LinkedIn. And so there's a human connection to the brand through the leadership of the company. And that's the challenge for those of us who are kind of in that Gen X boomer age, because that's not the business training that we got. But it's a critical change to make that the leader needs to be the primary influencer for the brand and the products.
And so why is that a challenge? I mean, so it's, I grew up as a journalist, so certainly I'm okay hopping out there and just sharing my opinions. And I certainly do, even though journalists don't do that. But today I'm more of a talk show host, honestly, than a journalist. But why is it so, why is it difficult for leaders? And which leader should be the person be in the public? Does it have to be the CEO? I mean, could it be somebody else? Or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think the challenge is that in previous decades, we were taught to, business was business and your home and personal life were separate. And those two things didn't really match, right? You told just enough stories so people knew you had a wife and children or whatever your situation was and maybe where you're going on vacation. And that was the standard. But now we have a much different, more transparent standard. So that's the first challenge. And I do think it should be the CEO or one of the co-founders who's that primary influencer, primary face of the company in the marketing, because that makes it the most believable and not like a paid part of the marketing team.
I mean, at the end of the day, the marketing team is paid to say good things about the company. I guess the co-founder or CEO certainly should do the same, but they have a little bit more stake in the skin in the game, so to speak. Now, when it comes to, but what if the CEO or the co-founders aren't necessarily the most authentic people? How do you get them to come across in an authentic manner? I mean, it's like when we're on here, right? I mean, it's really hard, I think, for 24 minutes, which is the length of these shows, to fake it, for people to fake it. If they don't know what they're talking about, it's almost impossible, right? Like, yeah, at some point, it's going to come across that they're not being authentic. So what if somebody is in that boat, they're not quite there yet, they're not as authentic for whatever reason, might not be a bad reason, but how do you get them to kind of make that jump?
Well, that's a great question. And I would say maybe it's not that they're not authentic, but they're just not comfortable being on camera, or they're not comfortable answering questions like this. And I have clients like that. And so instead of having them do it themselves, then we do an interview like this and mine out the beautiful pieces of their philosophy and their passion for why they started the company and their passion for solving problems for the clients. So majority of people who are in business doing stuff, they have a passion about some part of that business. And that's what marketing needs to unearth in some way.
You know, it's always amazing to me, actually, that the passion some of these founders have, right? Because most companies, when they first start, they do like one, some people might take this out of context, but they do like this one little bitty thing, right? In whatever it is. And you really have to have a passion to only be talking about that one thing, even though if you grow it later on. So certainly that is true. Interviewing people, I think, is a good way to do it, right? Because you can kind of lead them the way you want them to go, to an extent, I guess. How do you feel about scripted anything? I mean, I'm not a big fan of scripting anything for leaders and read it. I think most people cannot pull that off very well. So how else could you do it? Is it really just the interview style? Is that the way to do it, or is there anything else?
Yeah, I think scripting is passe at this point, which is amazing. And it's freeing in a lot of ways, right? Because it's hard for, there's only a very few of us who can read and memorize scripts and then repeat them in a good way like that. Scripting is not important. The whole packaging of the video is not as important as it used to be. The grittiness of the iPhone is part of the authenticity of it, and it's what the market demands. So, yeah, that's kind of where I land.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Certainly, you can do a lot of different things with an iPhone. Even, I mean, I used to do shows with an iPhone all the time. Now I got a webcam. But certainly you can just use your laptop camera for most everybody. Talk about the role of AI, but the impact of AI. Has it been mostly negative on authenticity, or is there a potential, or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think it has definitely increased the amount of marketing, right? We've just gotten through this holiday season and the amount of bad or lazy or ineffective marketing, like kind of what you were talking about earlier, right? Where it just turns you off in the first few sentences and you're like, I don't have time for this. So it's a tool that creates the seduction of shotgun, right? And so my counsel is to continue to use it as a scalpel, not as a shotgun, because that's how we know the best transactions happen, is when you're speaking to this ideal client profile and you understand their needs and you have a valid offer for them produced in a way that they like to hear and consume information. So if you can follow that rabbit hole and use the tools, like you've talked about half a dozen tools today that are amazing and massive time savers for solopreneurs and for marketing departments that are stretched and can't add staff. So scalpel, not shotgun.
So certainly I'm a big fan of some of these tools, but you know, they also add up, right? $20 here, $30 here, $19.99 here. I mean, before you know it, you spend a couple hundred dollars, maybe more, on AI tools every month. I mean, how do you draw the line on? And then the other thing is you still have to use them, right? So if you're the business leader, certainly, you know, it still takes some time. It takes less time than completely doing it by yourself, but you still have to bring your A game because sometimes AI puts out crap, right? And you still have to make a decision and keep that in mind. So how do you kind of decide which tools and how many tools are good to use?
I go through and do that type of gap analysis and just say, what is the part of the marketing campaign that's our biggest resource drag right now, or that we're not good at? And then there's some, what are the tools then that can solve that? I usually look at least three at the same time and figure out which one of those three can solve the problem that I have, and then work on implementation. And like you say, it's not just the $39 a month or whatever, but then you've also got to learn how to use it and remember where it goes in your workflow.
Yeah, when it comes to workflow, I'm a big, big fan of using Trello. That is not AI, I don't think, right the second, but just kind of like these are the steps I follow. And of course, on a podcast like this, you know, I have the same steps, but I don't even write them down. I kind of know them by now. But when you add steps, that's when it becomes easy to forget them, right? But I got all my tabs open. Here's the things I have to do. Upload it to DBTV, put it into Opus, put it into Otter, and then they send me emails when everything is done. Now, so in the future, net, Emmanuel, do you think AI is going to have a positive impact or negative impact on authentic marketing?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, I see it as a tool of marketing, just like the websites are a tool of marketing. I think people will use that tool the way people use all tools, some for the benefit and some for not benefiting marketing.
So hopefully everybody will use them, will use AI to be more authentic, not less authentic. Really appreciate you coming on the show. Episode 641, my friends, is in the books. Happy New Year to everyone. Hope everyone has had a good holiday season. Emmanuel, as we're signing off here, tell us about who should connect with you. Who do you work with? And thanks again for joining me.
Yeah, thank you very much. I've enjoyed it, Christoph. And we work with clients of all sizes, from small regional businesses to national brands. And you can find us at emmanuelrose.com or on LinkedIn.
Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review The Business Storytelling Show on your favorite podcast platform,